Welcome back to the Act Two Podcast, a podcast for the real life working screenwriter. I'm Tasha Hugh.
And I am Josh Hallman.
As a reminder, Act Two is a network and support group for the everyday working screenwriter, of which this podcast is just one of the things we do. So thank you for joining us here. You can also subscribe to the podcast. That way you don't miss out on our upcoming topics and our upcoming guests and our upcoming announcements about live events and Patreon things. All that good stuff. You can also DM us if you have questions or topic suggestions, or you just want to kind of tell us something that's been going on in your own writing life. You can do that at act2writers@gmail.com, all spelled out, or on our Instagram and Twitter at act2writers. I am on Instagram at Story Thursday, or Tasha3.0 on Twitter.
I'm Joshua Hallman on Twitter, Josh Hallman on Instagram. I love that we still haven't adopted the X. We're just like...
You tried for a second.
I did.
I powered through it.
Yeah, you did. And then I just gave in.
Joshua, do you have this week's in writings?
You know it, Tasha.
Yeah.
This Week in Writing. Let's go.
This Week in Writing.
So I was having a conversation with a writer friend of mine who was telling me about a pitch that he just got, a job he just got based on this pitch that he did. And he said he was shocked that he got this job because he didn't care about it that much. And it's not that he doesn't love the project or is excited to work on it, but he found himself in this kind of time risk management space in his head where he's like, I'm not going to do what I normally do in a pitch, which is really detail everything about what the movie is going to be and really get into the nitty gritty of how this movie is going to function. He just kind of did almost like an overlook of the movie. And he spent way less time on it, but what he did, of course, was good. And he got the job. And I said, that was so interesting because I just did a pitch where I felt like I did the same thing, where usually I have every single detail, every scene is kind of planned out. And then I just pare back for the pitch. But I didn't even do that. I was just like, this is how Act Two is generally going to go. I don't know what the actual scenes are, but this is generally how it's going to go. This is generally how Act Two B is going to go. And then here's like how it's going to build to the final set piece of Act Three. So I was much more, I guess, vague. And it looks like I may get this job, which is very interesting. Particularly interesting is that they still loved it, even though they had a lot of questions, because they're like, I don't quite know what Act Two is, because I didn't give it to them, right?
Yeah.
And so they're like, let me just ask you questions about what scenes will be in there. And then I was able to answer those questions well and in a way that they really liked. And so therefore I sort of moved forward to the next phase. But I don't know, it's an interesting lesson.
So you had those scenes prepared and you opted to not bring it up in the pitch, knowing, hey, maybe they'll ask me, and if they ask me about it, I'm gonna be prepared, and I kinda know the scenes that are in Act 2.
No.
Oh,
opposite. Like, usually I have all of the scenes prepared and I do so much work beforehand of plotting out the whole movie and then pairing back in the pitch. This time I just was like, I vaguely know what will happen. I know the big beats. I know the big turns.
Sure.
And that's what I'm going to pitch to. And I know generally what happens from the midpoint to the low point of the movie. So I can kind of tell you overall how the character is going to arc in that time, generally what will happen in that time. But I didn't have full scenes really prepared to pitch. And again, they did ask me a lot of questions about those sections and I was able to answer them, I think, because I know generally what I want so well in this particular case that I was able to say, yeah, I mean, I think this would probably be in there or this would be in there. On the flip side, though, I did lose a job recently with that TV show that we were working on as a pitch that you were helping me with, because someone else went above and beyond and I didn't because they weren't quite sure what the adventure of the show was that I was pitching. So I mean, I guess it can backfire, but it felt very freeing because pitches can be so hard. You're basically outlining an entire movie and then not getting the job. So this is a cool way to do it.
I wonder if it's on a it's dependent almost on the people you're pitching to.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe that's a scenario where you talk to your reps and ask, who am I pitching to and what do they like? What do they like to hear? Are they more? Do they need to hear more? I don't know. I have
that's
no
fair.
Idea.
Yeah.
It's a case by case. Yeah. Maybe when you get a younger executive or a younger whoever, they're just like, yeah, just give us the beats. We don't want to sit here for too long.
Like, let's say, I think I was pitching against like four people. Even though they didn't know the detailed scenes of how we're going to get from point A to point B in Act Two, the movie I was pitching was very clear. Like, the tone was extremely clear. The arc of the characters, the arc of the movie, the like sort of bigger set pieces, everything was actually very, very clear. They just wanted to make sure I could like logically get in that Act Two space, like get what I needed across.
Mm-hmm.
So like if someone else has another pitch that's totally different and you know you like the sort of like film noir version that I pitched, like you want the film noir version. You don't want the action adventure version, right?
Yeah, so yeah.
Like, I think as long as you're getting those things across in a really clear way, you could probably be shorter. You could probably be, I mean, I've never done a 15-minute pitch, though many people have and succeeded at doing so. I don't know how that's possible. Mine are in the 20 to 25-minute range, but yeah, I don't know. We'll keep talking about this, yeah. I guess, as I keep experimenting with it.
Keep us posted on the evolution. By the way, I do general pitch. Like that, I think, like, anyway, that's
yeah,
more of my alley. Anyway, this actually kind of is a nice little dovetail into my This Week in Writing. It is about a pilot that I worked on with my wife. And it is something I have seen so clearly in my head that I was like, I just love this idea. I really love this idea. But along the way, and like I talked to my manager about it, and he was like, you need a hook because this idea is not like the freshest thing, but you kind of need a hook. And he wasn't wrong at all, but it did give me like a seed of doubt. And I was like, do I just scrap this pilot that we've been working on because the doubt is there? I just don't want to do it. But then writers group came along and we talked about things. You guys restored my faith in humanity and writing. I'm only bringing this up because I think it happens with ideas often. It's very easy to kind of abandon something. I think it's almost
100%
like too easy.
And I think you're right, and we can get into that in our actually main topic that is kind of about this, which is when you see it clearly, that's a sign you should continue. Like, put that in the column of why I should continue is, yeah, I see the movie very clearly. That was when it's so interesting because, yeah, you came into that being like, should I even work on this anymore, guys? Does it make any sense? Do you even care? And one of the writers who was in our writers group in particular was like, she texted me aside and before the group and was like, oh no, I don't have any notes for Josh because I love it so much. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say because it's like, it's perfect. So,
I think it's a piece of
you
shit.
You hated something that someone thought was perfect.
The seed of doubt with writing is real. And
it's,
I'm only bringing that up because I've also talked to people where, you read something and you're like, yeah, keep going. But then they're like, I don't know. But yeah, we can, this, that'll also tie in, yeah, to our main topic.
Yeah, it ties in. I'll do one last one because I think it's really interesting and I'll forget to do it if I don't do it now.
Please.
Which is, I was talking to a writer friend of mine about outlining an invention that Josh and I had written like a 50-page treatment essentially for our feature and how much we love this process, and it's been really helpful in the writing of it. Like, I could just write it so quickly. And he said he does quite the opposite, and I thought it was very interesting. And I think that each project probably requires you to use a different process. So not the same process doesn't work for everything, because I can see me using his process on certain things and it being extremely helpful to get through. And his process, he said, is that he will like heavily outline the first act,
mm-hmm,
get through that, and then kind of know what his general act two is going to be about, generally what his midpoint might be, like some like general points along the way to the end of the movie. But he doesn't outline that stuff. It's just very general beats. But he'll heavily outline act one. And then when he gets to the end of act one in the script, then he'll outline act two A, because things have changed so much during the writing of the outline to the script that now he doesn't have to like re-outline everything, right? Because he didn't take all that effort up top, but he knew generally where it was going to go. So now he's going to outline heavily act 2A and so on, like get through act 2A in the script and then do act 2B.
Yeah.
And I thought that was super interesting and probably something I will try on scripts that I don't see as clearly.
Yeah.
Because with our script, we saw it so clearly that I think it only helped us to get as detailed as possible early. But with Scripson, the Mogwai spec that I have, it's this action movie, and I sort of don't know what it is yet. And I think that would probably be a good one to do this process with. So I just wanted to mention that in case that's helpful for anyone.
I love that. Yeah, that's so tough because I actually have projects where I've written the first act and I was super into it and then kind of stall. And I'm like, I don't know what happens after the midpoint. Like I could see was sort of, but I guess, yeah, as long as you kind of know your beginning, middle and end, you can change things up.
And it's less, I think it's less scary if you know you just have to outline Act 2A. That's it. I don't have to do the whole thing. It's just I have to just know what comes next. And then I think that might also help you focus your brain into, okay, what does the character do next? And then what does the character do next? Like it just, rather than being sort of overwhelmed by the entire movie.
Yeah.
I'm going to try this. I think it's cool.
Oh, man.
I do have one small thing.
Okay.
This also came up recently from actually after Writers Group, something I was thinking of that maybe we should dive into at some other point of like how sometimes difficult it can be to write those scenes where there's just purely expository and very important information about characters needs to be given. I'm strictly speaking from like I have a scene where two guys are talking and they're just talking about life and it's supposed to kind of open up and show like the soul of one of the guys. And I could see how it's really boring. It's breaking the show don't tell stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just afterward, I was just thinking about how difficult those scenes can be.
Yeah. I love this as a topic because I actually love the challenge of making info dumps really interesting.
I think info dumps can work later in a script if you have shown all the info that is being dumped. For instance, if I am like this person who flies off the handle, and I'm flying off the handle throughout the entire script. And then at the end, I'm sitting talking with someone and I'm just like, man, I just always fly off the handle. Like, I feel like it can work in that sense.
Because it's not, at that point, an info dump. It's your character coming to a realization that they have a problem.
Yes. I love this topic.
I love this topic too. We'll make a topic of it. All right. So our actual topic today is how do you know what to work on next? We've gotten this as a question in our emails. I've actually gotten it live in person the very week we decided to talk about this from another writer who wasn't sure if he should do the thing that should sell or the thing that he loves. So we decided we would just generally talk about how do we decide what to work on next?
Yeah.
And I feel like you're ready to go and you should just do that.
You just go. Yeah, we've talked about this a lot. I happened to be talking to a friend who was going through this where he had sold something. This was not long ago. And then people were coming to him asking to either like write with him or develop with, you know, like producers were coming to him and it was all these very good ideas. And it was, he was like, man, I don't know what to do. And in my own life, I was kind of experienced this as well, where it's just like sometimes, you know, a lot of things come on your plate at once and you're talking to someone or you love an idea and you're just trying to figure out like what to pursue. What's very helpful for me, which I do with you, which I do with Dave, is like just talking it out. So for me, my first step is really like actually just writing out the different things that I'm like wanting to work on and then taking the next step from there. That's my first step. Do you have any steps? Like, what do you do?
I don't have like concrete steps like that. I think in the scenario that you're talking about, where hey, you just got a bunch of submissions, or you just had a lot of really great generals, and some people have suggested some things that are open writing assignments, or things that they'd love for you to write on spec, or maybe even pay you for. Here's a book. Here's a graphic novel. Yeah. Here's ideas. Whatever. Like when you're in that stage, it's so tough because you see everything as a potential job. Everything is something that could pay my rent. And so you want it so badly. In terms of what to pursue, I think my process is typically I take a week to figure out if I have an idea for it. Because if I don't have an idea, it's going to be so hard to like push an idea through this the sieve that is my brain into like something that I could pitch. It's just such an uphill battle and it's really unpleasant as a writer. But to exactly what you said, like if there's something that I love or something that I see, like my manager has so many times, like I've had an open writing assignment opportunity to pitch on something that's really cool. And so this came up recently, actually. There was a short movie that this producer sent me and said, hey, like the director of this wrote and directed this little short. We think it could be really cool for a movie. What do you think? And it had all the elements that I love. It's like samurai stuff, action stuff, fantasy stuff. It was just so freaking cool. But I couldn't come up with something that I loved within that world. And my manager is very good at being like, just take a week or take 3 days if you have less time than that. And oftentimes you do. And just think about it. Don't write stuff down. Just like, just think. And if you don't either love it or can think of a way through, then we have to pass and you have to move on to something else. Because that time risk management thing is very real. And like, you're wasting that week on something that will never happen or never be good. And so move on to the next thing. And so I guess that's my first sort of line of defense with stuff.
Yeah. I want to be clear that I don't have some like concrete steps. There's nothing like that. But I think
it sounded like it. You write things down. You probably do like a pros and cons list.
No way. I'm just, you know, that happens when you almost feel overwhelmed. I don't know where you're just, I don't know if this happens to you, but like in that case, you're like what you were just saying about the short film. You hear like a concept. And you're like, that's a freaking amazing concept. I have to be able to figure out a story to that because, you like the concept. And you almost like force yourself into coming up with a story when maybe mm-hmm. it's just not speaking to you the way it should. So then mm-hmm. you have to pass. But like sometimes I just think I'll be like, I can figure this out. But no, I'm just saying,
yeah.
I don't have a list. I do what you do. Whatever you just said.
Just feel it. You feel your way through it.
Just trust your gut, man. Just trust your gut.
Yeah. So when it comes to, so that's like for submissions and stuff, I think, for what to work on next. So for me, like right now, there's two things I want to go after very badly.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't actually work on both because there's just no time to do both. So I'm like, I'm trying to line them up. So I'm going to pitch through one, either get it or not, and then pitch through the other one. The reason why I've like narrowed in on these two rather than other ones is A, because it like fits my genre the most. It's like the spot that makes me the most happy.
Yeah. 'Cause
there are other submissions that I've been getting that's like, here's a pure action drama. And like, okay, but it's set in the real world and there's a lot of like crime and violence. And that's sort of like not my favorite thing. I love genre violence, right? Like, rather than like true crime violence. And so like that is definitely a really cool opportunity. And I'm sort of putting that on the back burner if I don't get these other ones that are like very cool. But I go for the ones that make me the most happy. I met with a writer recently. He's an author. And the first thing he said to me when we met was, you hate writing, right? I was like, what? He's like, you hate it, right? You just love having written. I was like, no, I love writing. It's so fun to me.
Sure.
I'm not that writer who writing is, it can be a pain in the ass, but I think partly because I pick projects that I really, really love
mm-hmm.
And find my way through. So that was a long-winded way of saying exactly what I said before. But when it comes to submissions, like that's sort of our process. But about like what to pick next as a spec, Joshua, how do you figure that out? Because you're like the king of this.
It's a good question, Tasha. I think it almost like starts with what is the concept of this idea? Meaning, is it like a high concept thing? Is it what's the hook, for lack of a better term? And I think that's like something I probably put more weight in now, even though I used to put a lot of weight into it, but we've talked about how difficult the market is and things like that. So I think concept is so important. So when it comes to specs, I think about that first, and then it's like, okay, is there a unique way into this that hasn't been done before? And do I have that unique way? And if the answer is yes, then I'm moving forward on that spec.
So for you, just to like re-pitch back to you what you said, because it's different than me, so I'm trying to understand that you will like, because you are a very high concept writer, you're very good at finding just like really cool, seemingly like obvious ideas. So for you, it's like, coming up with these ideas and like the idea that's sort of the most obvious. So you can like clearly see, you can pitch to someone and they're like, oh, I see what that movie is. I get what that movie is. So you kind of would go down the road of that one more. And then the next step would be like, do I see a character journey through that concept? And if I do, boom, that's the one. If I don't, maybe I need to look at a different eye concept.
Kind of, yeah. Like what you and I have, what we're working on, right? To me, it's just so obvious. Like it was like this meets this. And then we talked about the characters and how it's unique and how it's different. And it's like, to me, I was like, yeah, that's, yeah. Of course, that's such a like a cool idea. And if there's an idea that I think I could be like, all right, where can some father-son drama go into this story?
Right.
Then if I can infuse kind of my own like issues into a higher concept, then I'm like definitely going down that road.
Yeah.
Tell me yours. What's your spec process?
For specs? God, I have so many spec ideas. It's ridiculous. And not all of them are good, or not all of them are movies, I guess. Like the thing that I came up with as my idea is maybe a moment or a scene or half a concept. And so with those, when it's more difficult, when I don't understand what the movie is, I get very discouraged because it feels like so much work that I don't know if it'll pay off, right? Mm-hmm. Like I could, and I have put so much work into something and I still haven't figured it out, and it's been months or even years on some certain things. So, and I'm not like a spec writer, so this is a little bit of all bullshit, because I do try to write specs. I'm just not good at it, or I don't do it quickly. So, but however, the process that I do use is it as clear as possible?
Like, yeah.
Is it going to be easy to write? Am I excited about it, or am I afraid of it? Or does it feel like it's going to be an uphill write, you know? Or does it feel like, oh man, I could fucking write this in my sleep? When it comes to specs, that's sort of where I decide to go. And what's interesting is, I think we should talk about this, is the market plays a huge part in what people want to work on next. And a writer that I was talking to was like, there's two things that I'm juggling right now. And one is this horror movie that feels like it'll sell because horror movies sell. He said, like, they're cheap to make. You can throw it up on Shudder and it becomes this like calling card, or it plays the festival run, or it even gets into some theaters, right? Like it's just an easier process he could see potentially paying off for his career. Or the thing that he really loves that's a bit harder for other people to understand, that's going to be execution based, and it's also something he can't put down because he loves it so much. And he was like, what should I write on, Tasha? And I am maybe naive, but I don't think chasing the job or the thing that sells is right. Because even if he sells that, he's probably not going to sell it enough to like leave his job and like start his career, but it'll get him into doors. He'll start taking meetings and all of that is great. But now you're a horror writer and he doesn't want to write horror. That's not his genre. It's something he's kind of interested in. That's not who he is. This other thing is who he is and is going to be the most him if it goes out in a spec. So it's tough because both have value, I guess. But in my experience, when I've chased the thing that I thought would make me more marketable, I was neither happy or successful at doing that. And maybe that's just me.
Oh.
But that's been my experience.
Yeah, you're bringing up a good point, because if you're writing a spec and that's the thing that's going to be taken out, that's what you're going to be known as at that moment. If you don't have like a catalog of other scripts that have gone out or something like that. So yeah, that's something to definitely consider. It's like, how do I want to be labeled in some of these meetings that I'm going to go on once the script goes out?
I'm very like, follow your dreams.
I was thinking the
However,
same
there are so, thing. There are so many people, though, who do completely make it in the industry and like, well, by not following their dreams and instead being like, what can I fucking sell? What would just light up a producer's life when they read this and get so excited they want to make this movie? And they suddenly go from nobody you've ever heard of to like the biggest writer in Hollywood in the course of a week. That's how Hollywood is. That's what's so crazy about this job. So you don't want to tell someone like not to follow that marketing tactic.
Yeah.
It's just not what I do. And maybe to my detriment, my career is taken a long time to sort of like
no
progress, I guess, rather than like coming onto the scene with a boom.
Yeah, but I still think if you have that idea, you still have to infuse your own personal taste in that idea.
It has to be you. Otherwise, it's probably going to be bad.
Yeah. There has to be something that separates that script. It's like, oh my God, that was, you know, Jaws, but set in the jungle. What? And then all of a sudden you're like, well, and they, like that makes, I know that makes not, that doesn't make a lot of sense, but like.
He's a river shark, Josh. It's totally possible.
This family needs to get across this river for survival.
Anaconda meets Jaws.
Oh my, Anaconda meet Jaws. Yeah. Oh, it just writes itself. Anyway, follow your dreams.
However, I will say, you and I have both come across this for sure, where we'll give ideas to our reps. Hey, Tajra, what are you excited about? What do you want to do next? Well, here's five ideas I've been thinking about, manager. And they're like, eh, like,
yeah.
Everyone has their this kind of spec. Everyone has this. This is very difficult to sell right now. Or this is too expensive. I wouldn't do that. And so they guide you to do the thing that is most marketable, meaning the thing that they can see themselves taking out and not being embarrassed to try to sell. And I have written based on those kinds of conversations, although I've never finished anything because I didn't love it. I didn't have all these other things that we've talked about being in place, which is a clear path, clear characters. Like those things weren't there. I was just writing it because I was told by a manager or an agent that this makes the most sense market-wise.
It's confusing.
You've had these conversations, and I feel like to some success, actually.
I've had these conversations often. It's so interesting because we talk about this, but I've definitely had the conversation where the reps are just like, give me an idea that can sell. That's what like they're actually saying, where it's just, yeah, I've pitched ideas to them, you know, not, you know, where it's like, this is what I'm thinking. This meets this, where this, or, you know, and if it just doesn't click immediately, you can kind of see them moving off of it. I'm not saying this is all the time. I'm just saying this has happened where I think reps want high concepts, good concepts.
This is a really good segue into the story I was telling you over text about a producer I met with recently who was talking about how she reads like 9 of the same scripts every month. Like everyone out there has their whatever, like heist on a yacht movie, which we did at one point.
Oh man.
So like, and she, it was interesting, like her observation was very interesting because she felt like we've trapped writers in this cycle of thinking of what can I write to sell? What can I write that feels producible? And everything you read then becomes that point of view. You can tell, sure, it's kind of a movie. It's not a movie I would really care about. It doesn't feel exceptional. Do I really want to spend years of my life on something that I don't really believe in, but feels like, okay, it has a plot that would be easy to understand for the audience, a heist on a yacht. Or do I want a movie that surprises me, that has a unique way in, that has some specificity of the writer within it and the characters? I want that. And she's like, I don't get it very often. And those movies can oftentimes be harder to make, but more invigorating for everybody involved, and can like kind of like cut through the crap in a way. And in some ways can be, again, not, it's a sort of a harder sell, but also like it excites studios more as well because it's so unique. And so I was like, yeah, like follow your dreams, right? And she's like, yes, follow your dreams, Tajra. So there was some kind of, you know, from a producer who has this perspective of getting these scripts that were just trying to write to make money. Like that was helpful to me.
I love that. You know, honestly, there's two stories I want to say. One, I feel like I've lost my way sometimes where I get too caught up in the market and just like what can be made. Obviously, I'm not going to try to write like a $1 billion movie. I'm not writing like Avatar 7, but like, I used to be a little bit more free to just explore an idea and just be like, fuck it, I just love this and I'm just diving into it. Now I can talk myself out of those pretty easily in the sense of like, does this even make sense? But the second thing I was going to say is, you were telling me that story, we were texting, and I swear to you, I was working, I had a document open, and let's, for the sake of this conversation, let's say it was my document of a heist on a boat, and I was revisiting it, kind of tying this whole thing together, being like, should I pursue this idea? And you were texting me and was like, yeah, this producer said like everyone has this heist on a boat idea, and you know, it's just like it's been like played out. And I was like, I was looking at my document like, oh my God, I'm like, it was the weirdest thing. And so I closed the document.
Like, I'm done on this.
And I'm out. And the worst part is I really like the idea. But anyway, it's not a heist on a boat, but you know what I'm saying.
One day you'll maybe find your way through that, your unique way in that separates it from the other 9 heists on a boat.
Still a great idea.
Still a great idea.
I got nothing left.
I got nothing left either, but I feel like this probably creates a lot of questions in people, like bigger questions too, of hey, do I write to the market? Do I not? And how do you write to the market? And do I write the thing that's going to be $300 million because I love it or not? So if you have these questions, send them our way. This is an ongoing topic of conversation. As someone who has written like $300 million movies as specs before I was ever represented, like, I feel you. Mm-hmm. We can talk about it. but yes, please send us follow-up questions on this. It's a much bigger topic than this. All right, quote of the day. I didn't write Snow White for any class, but I got bitten by the screenwriting bug and wrote a couple of scripts in my spare time instead of going to keg parties. Evan Doherty.
Wow.
Who wrote Snow White and the Huntsman. Please remember to rate and subscribe. Follow us at Act Two Writers for more awesome writing stuff. You can follow me, Tasha, at Story Thursday on Instagram or on Twitter at Tasha3.0.
I'm Joshua Hallman on Twitter, Josh Hallman on Instagram.
And as always, the Act Two podcast is a production of Act Two, a network and support group for the everyday working screenwriter. This episode was edited by Paul Lundquist.